Turning now to Lessons from Proudhon, our Pierre-Joseph Proudhon readings of What is Property? We've arrived at the concluding paragraphs of Chapter 5. We'll return to earlier parts of the book next week. This is the end of What is Property? And in it, I'm feeling a little tension and a lot of consonants with Prince. We'll discuss this next week. Primary within that consonance is their allegiance to the eternal, God, love. Call it what you will, it is what we came from and what we return to. It is this common allegiance of those with authentic, true power that threatens the state at every level of it, but at present it is totalitarian, that is global. It is this common allegiance to which we owe our growth, our development as human beings. Both Proudhon and Prince know and work to see this, our knowledge of our power, this source, see this reincorporated within us, dismantling the state thereby. This process we are all now engaged in a sense, answers all the questions of millennia under class and harmonizes us with life. Continuing with Proudhon. But why are these earliest reformers continually bowing to power and wealth, that is, to all that is anti-reformatory? How in a thinking age can they fail to see that the world must be converted by demonstration, not by myths and allegories? Why do they, the deadly enemies of civilization, borrow from it, nevertheless, its most pernicious fruits, property, inequality of fortune and rank, gluttony, concubinage, prostitution? What do I know? Theurgy, magic, sorcery. Why these endless denunciations of morality, metaphysics, and psychology, when the abuse of these sciences, which they do not understand, constitutes the whole of their system? Constitutes their whole system. Why this mania for deifying a man whose principal merit consisted in talking nonsense about things whose names, even, he did not know, in the strongest language ever put upon paper? Whoever admits the infallibility of a man becomes thereby incapable of instructing others. Whoever denies his own reason will soon proscribe free thought. The philanterians would not fail to do it if they had the power. Let them condescend to reason. Let them proceed systematically. Let them give us demonstrations instead of revelations, and we will listen willingly. Then let them organize manufactures, agriculture, and commerce. Let them make labor attractive and the most humble functions honorable, and our praise shall be theirs. Above all, let them throw off that illuminism which gives them the appearance of impostors or dupes, rather than believers and apostles. And that concludes the footnote he had on Fourier. There commences the science of public and private right, the true political economy. It is for the writers on jurisprudence, henceforth unembarrassed by the false principle of property, to describe the new laws and bring peace upon earth. Knowledge and genius they do not lack. The foundation is now laid for them.